This is the PR Podcast, a show about how public relations helps you tell your story to the world. We talk with great PR practitioners who have the skills, creativity, and just plain savvy to get their clients noticed. Now here's your host, Jody Fisher.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the PR Podcast. I'm Jody Fisher. Thanks for joining us. Well, do not forget to send in your PR podcast plug. I'm going to start sounding like a broken record here, you know, but it's the easiest way for PR people who are probably, if you're like me, great at promoting my clients, horrible at promoting myself. Here's a way to promote yourself. Here's a way to tell us something cool that you're doing that is outside of your 9-to-5. Maybe it's your TikTok channel. Maybe it's your cooking hobby. Maybe you wrote a book. You did something that's cool you want to share with the community, send us a PR podcast plug about what you've done. We'll mention it at the top of an upcoming show. The easiest way to do that is send me an email to jody@jodyfisherpr.com. Let us know what you did, when you did it, and why it's so cool, and we will give you some love at the top of an upcoming episode. Now on with our show today. We've got a great guest. Bob Shields is an associate managing editor at Newsday, serving the Long Island communities of Nassau and Suffolk County. With more than 30 years experience in the news business, with most of that time spent at tabloid newspapers, he has worked at the Trentonian, the New York Daily News, and AM New York. He's done it all from developing film, cutting stories with a knife, stopping the presses, running social media, laying out the paper, writing some of your favorite front page headlines, running the digital news operation, and now working on planning, recruiting, and helping Newsday's new TV initiative. We're excited to have him on the show today. Bob, welcome to the PR Podcast.
Jody, it's a pleasure to be here, a longtime fan, and I'm glad to be able to share some insights with your listeners today.
We were joking before we got taping here. We have known and worked with each other for 10 years, but this is literally the first time we've actually talked with each other.
That is absolutely true. That is the age of social media that you can, and networking, you can know people, but you don't know them, but you know them. You know what I mean?
Just wild.
It does help that, you know, we do have this network of people that we know by reputation. It's not just your Rolodex anymore, but you get a feel for what a person's like just from their social media and what they respond to, how they post, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a new kind of networking.
Speaking of getting to know someone, you know, you have a couple of, I'll call them go-to social posts every day. I'm going to go get the papers, and you publish the front page, little snapshots of the front page, mm-hmm. the back page. I mean, you are a newspaper guy, right? How did you get into newspapers?
My start in newspapers was I was 3 years old. We used to get the New York Daily News delivered every morning and the Staten Island Advance delivered every afternoon. And when I was 3 years old, my mother had a party trick. She would get that copy of the Daily News from that day and she would make me read the front page headline. So I could read out loud the front page headline when I was 3 years old. And news just became a steady diet in our house. I love to read. I love the tabloid news. You know, I don't forget, I came of age as a child and a teenager in those, you know, late 70s to late 80s. So that was a golden time for, you know, New York tabloid news, the head-to-head with the Post versus the Daily News. Then I got into them getting me the Sunday Times so that I would have a more well-rounded education. But, you know, it was my goal. It was my dream. I went to college for it. I wanted to do it. My goal was to become the guy who designed and booked and picked the pictures and wrote the front page headlines and basically oversaw the print production of the New York Daily News. And by the time I was 25, I was on the night desk of the New York Daily News putting out the newspaper. So it was a pretty quick ride, but I got what I wanted. And here I am still surviving the crunch after all these years. So,
and newspapers have gone through, you know, lifetimes over our lifetime and, you know, sort of evolutions of what goes into a newspaper. They are still, however, for my dollar, at the core of the information sharing network, the news network. Right. When you think of news, you still think of your daily newspaper, do you not?
That is correct. We are lucky that in the New York metro area, we still have several vibrant daily newspapers, that things, they may be thinner, they might not have as much in them anymore, but they are still there for you every day. Unfortunately, that's not the case in a lot of other places, as we know, where the print product is either shrunk down to a few days a week or is non-existent. But we, you pick up a copy of the New York Post every day, and it was like nothing's ever changed in the past 40 years. So we are lucky that we are in a area that still supports print, even though it is incredibly diminished from when I started in the business in terms of circulation. But that's why we pivoted to digital and have kind of serve a larger audience when they want it, and how they want it.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the specific changes that Newsday is implementing. It's still Long Island's paper of record. It's still the daily newspaper for hundreds of thousands, a couple million people who live on Long Island. But you've got a really vibrant new product in Newsday TV that is launched. You're very aggressive on social. Talk to me about the philosophy behind that. I know that a lot of that comes from your owner.
Correct. We have been, since I've worked for the company, it's been 8 years. I started in New York, running AM New York, which is a free tabloid paper aimed at people who take the subway and whatnot. But we were owned by Cablevision, which is obviously large, one of the largest cable operators in the country. Then we were sold to Altice when the Dolan family got out of the business. It was a French or Belgian company, but that was very short-lived because Pat Dolan, who at the time was the head of News 12, if you know News 12 is the local optimum TV stations across the tri-state area, he and his father bought Newsday from Altice to keep kind of that part of the family legacy. And Pat invested heavily on a completely new newsroom that you can see behind me. And there you go. See, this is what you get for working in a newsroom, get interrupted. We built a completely new building for Newsday. The old We moved our printing operation, which saves millions of dollars, to the New York Times in Queens. And this new building allowed us to build two state-of-the-art television studios. One is a traditional TV studio that you would see on the news. The other is a 200-seat auditorium that is can be used for Newsday events. For We've had concerts, we've had congressional debates, we've had forums. But also, it allows Long Islanders to rent it and use it as a space for their corporate meetings. It was high tech, internet focused, video focused strategy. Newsday is already has been a strong print product, and our circulation numbers are still bearing that out. We still have a vibrant print audience. Our digital operation, which has been around for about 25 years now, is still growing. We're always adapting and changing to the needs of Long Islanders. And then Pat added this whole video component. We had a video team before. They would work on documentaries such as and things like that. But now it is a daily television operation with a four times a day show with several reporters, MMJ reporters. But the interesting thing is it doesn't stand alone from the rest of Newsday. It is one part of Newsday that works together with the print reporter. We call them print reporters. They're just reporters. But the data visualization teams, the people who design the newspaper, it all kind of comes together in one package. So we get you coming and going. You can watch Newsday TV and hear about a story, and we send you right to that story online. We promote Newsday TV in the paper. To receive that video that goes with the story, just click on this link and it takes you back to the video. So it's a totally brave new world in which we are combining investigative digital print reporting with a TV component and all making it all work together. It's been a
Yeah.
long time coming, and COVID kind of kicked us back a couple of years in that process, but we came roaring back pretty fast after that.
It really does work well together. And being up close and personal as I am, as a local Long Islander, this is my newspaper that I go to every morning first. I also noticed too, though, that you're not slighting the print product in the least. And in fact, it seems to me like you've really amped up and got more aggressive with your print product as well, in terms of a lot of investigative pieces, more than I remember in prior years, at least. You straightened me out on that one. I think a lot more Localized coverage in the towns, in the villages. It's not just the big, broad Long Island story. It's like what's going on in a local village, which is really the lifeblood of a local publication. Talk about the philosophy of how you guys think about assigning that coverage, what you choose to go after, why you want to put it in the paper.
A lot of it has to do with the change in the way that people consume news and what they're interested in, and that we now have metrics that tell us what our audience is interested in. Not that we just cater to those metrics, but we know in a nuanced fashion that these particular topics, you know, there are some evergreens that will always get the interest of the reader. Car crashes, blood, you know, spectacular explosions, things like that. But when you get to, down to that next level where what are the readers willing to pay for? What is the information that they can get only from Newsday that is worth a subscription? That they can't get for free from Google, because we all know the TV stations give away the news for free, and a lot, and the New York Post has no paywall. But what can I learn about my county? So over the years, the philosophy of the newsroom has changed from, you know, long-term investigations, which we still have, but pacing ourselves, having smaller investigations, smaller scope, that are you can publish more often than medium size, and then the really big ones, the long-term ones. In terms of topics to cover, we kind of refocused the newsroom to be about topics rather than general assignment. You know, we've seen that people have a great desire in education news, in transportation news, in health news, in personal finance and their business, and also local business, as local as it gets. What's the trends? What's changing? We revamped our real estate section, both digitally and in print, to change the focus more towards a younger crowd, because we know, you know, Long Island is an island of homes. That is our number one industry, is owning a home in Long Island. So they've changed the focus to make it more digital friendly for a younger audience that is struggling to buy a home, giving them tips, giving them direction, showing them places on the island where they might not be aware of that it's a good place to live. We've also reinvented our Long Island Life section, which is kind of focusing on a new generation, the Gen Xers. It was focused towards boomers. Well, I can't use the word boomers, but it was focused towards an older audience and who once were the middle-aged people. But it's kind of refocusing it into a, you know, you had kids, you still live here, you're still vibrant in your 50s, and the kids are gone out of the house. Now what? So we for the first time in, you know, my career, at least in the last 10 years, we have the ability to see what's causing people to subscribe. What kind of content? Is it video? Is it, we have metrics for everything. And it's not just unique visitors and page views. It's more nuanced than that. And you'll see more of that coming in the news business as we adjust from the traditional daily news report to giving people news they can use that they're willing to pay for on their terms, when they want to read it, how they want to read it, and being able to approach a story 360, that we have the video, we have the print paper, that it'll go on Sunday, but we know that the audience will like it on Thursday. And I'm totally not talking, totally have not talked about the power of social media, and also the power of newsletters, push alerts, text alerts. You know, we are codifying strategies based on what we know works to help us move forward and time these things and know what to cover and know what people expect.
And so in terms of someone like me who is pitching you stories, you know, I've always said you need to consume the news, the product you want to be a part of, right? If you want to be in Newsday, you got to read Newsday. And now you've got all these other products that you have explained, which I, to my ears, I hear opportunities, more places to tell more stories. You're not just taking, as you described it, you know, you don't just take the one story and you lay it across all those different things. You're treating each story the way the medium demands it.
Correct.
But how can PR people take all that in and pitch you more effectively to give you stories that you know you want to report on because you know your audience wants to hear it?
You know, we have a philosophy here that you may send us a press release. And let's face it, a lot of what still happens today is press releases. I get so many press releases, and it's not really in my wheelhouse anymore. But I tend, if they don't grab me in the first headline, I'm gone. I delete it. I move on, unless it's somebody I know or someone I've worked with. But we tend to get a lot of press releases. And our philosophy is, okay, that's fine. Tell me more. I want to know before I go to this event. I want to do, I don't need to, I'm not waiting until 12 o'clock to show up to find out what you're talking about. I want to know what's going on before we show up at an event, before we talk to these people. So it's that ability to be able to answer those questions from a reporter, maybe earlier than you expect to after you send a press release. And I will tell you, you know, we're in the attention getting business, both as reporters and editors putting out a product, but also as receivers, because we are now overwhelmed with item, with information in the newsroom. It used to be that you got a tear sheet from the copy desk and that's what you worked on. Now we're getting emailed and slacked and phone calls and emails and more slacks and push notifications. So you have to find a way to cut through the noise. And I think that a lot of that goes in building up a relationship with the editors and reporters on in that area. A lot of it is being able to anticipate what kind of questions they're going to ask. A lot of it is having more, a lot of video and image assets, visual assets, because we are more now than ever in a visual storytelling age. It's being prepared to answer the tough questions pretty quickly. And however you can cut through that noise, however you can make your pitch in an email sexy, because I mean, our junk filter, honestly, a lot of times sends everything straight to junk mail. And that's what you don't want to happen. So it is, you know, a lot of it is just being prepared to answer a lot of questions from a reporter as soon as you send out something, and also getting that reporter's attention, whether it's through, you know, if I get a pitch with visuals in it, I'm hooked. If it doesn't have a picture, it doesn't have something, then I know everything doesn't have that. But the more you can grab my attention in that split second, I have to make a decision. I had to make 150, 200 decisions a day. Whatever you can do to help me get there, that would be appreciated. And that would get my attention.
Here's a quick technical question. You talked about getting your attention with a visual. And you also talk about junk filters and things like that. Should people be attaching a photo as an example? Don't get me wrong, a small photo, but a photo that gives you, should they be attaching it or should they be giving it to you the way I sometimes give it to folks, which is in a Google Drive, there's a link and you can click through. What's the better way to do it? What's going to avoid bumping it to your junk?
For the ones that I get that pitched, I don't mind an inline photo plus a Google Drive to see more, just something small, you know, shrink it down to the smallest size so that you don't have to download it. You don't have to open an attachment. Uh-huh. You can just see it there. And if you want more, you put that Google Drive link. That to me, give me a tease. I teach the visual storytelling classes here that we've had for about 3 years. And we always talk about the movie poster approach to a story. What's that top image? What's the headline? What's going to, you picture a movie poster. We've all seen them. We used to go to the movies. There's a picture, there's a word, there's a title, there's a typography that, oh, I want to go see that movie when it's Christmas. That's the same approach we take towards storytelling. And it's the same approach you could take towards pitching a story. Get my interest. Get me interested. Sell me with just an image and a word, you know, words that make me want to know more about it.
Such a great analogy. I love that movie poster analogy. So cool. How about when you're sending, you know, you're a newspaper, you're sending out what we'll call TV reporters, video reporters, right? And you've got a lot of your Newsday TV reporters are former TV reporters themselves. They're not new to this business at all. They're veterans in the New York City TV landscape. What are you hoping that they're looking for? Or what are you asking them to find inside of a story?
We are looking to work hand in hand with the print reporter. A lot of them have their great sources, so they have information they share with us. And then vice versa. We have sometimes sources that they don't have. But the key for us for an MMJ package is the visuals and the emotion. you can take a still picture that's emotive, and a lot of times our photographers and our videographer are the same person. They're shooting both at the same time. But TV is really good about, and that's new to me to learn. Not really. I've watched TV news and analyzed it for 40 years, but never actually had my hands on it. So I learn about, what's the compelling angle? What is the emotional angle? What is the outrage angle? Which is a lot of, what tabloid journalism, and by tabloid, I don't mean down dirty, tawdry National Enquirer, but the glory days of the New York Post and the New York Daily News, that emotion, that outrage, that touching image, that's what TV really brings to our storytelling, is that it complements it, because it's one thing to see a picture of a mother who's sad about something. It's another thing to hear it in her own words. So our TV reporters are always looking for that angle, that something that's going to cut through the noise and make you feel something, whether it's good or bad.
In terms of timing, I get this question a lot from other PR folks and from younger folks especially. And I have my observation, but I want to hear it from you. How long does it take you to from getting that news release or getting that pitch in your email, even if you decide right away, yeah, this is something we want to go after, how long does it take you to actually turn around that story to have it end up in print or out in the public?
We in the past, we were just a day-to-day paper, so we just grabbed it and did it in one day, and you did it for the next day's paper. And now we have a lot more nuanced planning. We have a plan for the dailies. We have a team that just does the daily reporting. Then we have the medium-sized stories, and then we have the longer-term stories or the weekend stories. So in the new landscape, to do it right, to get the right images, to get the video report done right, to get the writing, as much time in advance that you can pitch a story, we're going to want it. We're going to want as much time to get a story done, because we want to make sure it's done right and that it's done in a compelling fashion and told in a compelling fashion for the readers. So, sometimes breaking news happens. Breaking news happens. But if you have something that is going to happen next Wednesday, you better give somebody a lot of time to know about it, because if you pitch them that morning, it's going to go to the bottom of the pile of stories to do.
Yeah, and that's been my experience as well. In fact, I've noticed across all the reporters that I talk with, the more time you can give, obviously, the more time you can get them, the better. But also, I've noticed that reporters are need and outlets are needing more time, as you just described, needing more time to do stories like that. That it is not just the rip and read next day, unless, like you said, it's the breaking news, it's the thing that happened today, and so you must report on it today. If it's a feature type of a story, if it's something that isn't that breaking news, give them as much time as they can because they actually need more time because, as you said, you're being more deliberative about what's going into the product.
News telling the news and anymore at any news organization is no longer a 300-word story with one picture. That's the tried and true bread and butter newspaper report. That those days are long gone. Now we have data. We want data. We want visualization. We want audio. It is important to remember that while newspapers business is still putting out a newspaper, a sophisticated news organization, of which we are lucky to have several in this area, are looking for things that you would never think a newspaper would be looking for. So.
If you had to guess about the next, I don't know, make it up, 5 years, 10 years of newspapers, and maybe we can just talk about Newsday or the newspaper industry in general, where do you see it going?
Well, we have great success with our digital replica edition. So basically every paper, every subscriber, every print subscriber gets a digital subscription. But then we have tens of thousands or more, but we have a lot of digital only subscribers. They don't get Newsday, but they read the paper on their phone. Our digital paper, which is a replica of the final edition of the newspaper, is baked into our app. It's right in the top of our homepage. It is very it, you can download it and read it on the train. And we have probably and you can watch the videos with the story inside the newspaper. You can make the you can, don't have to pinch and zoom. You just touch the story and it opens up in a window, and then you go back to the newspaper. We have great success with that. So I think for us, we're not our print product is not going away. All right, it's not going away as a print paper, not for some time. But when it does eventually, and who knows how many years that'll be in the future, we're still in a good position. We have trained people. We have gotten them in the habit of still reading the newspaper, even though it's not a physical newspaper. They're reading a replica of it. I think we do that better than any other paper in the country. I know that the Daily News has a re same thing, a little less functionality, but you get that with your digital subscription, while several other papers that you may have a print and digital subscription. If you want that capability, you have to pay on top of your subscription. And I can think of two in the New York metro area that make you pay to read the newspaper after you already paid to read the newspaper. So I think for readers in the metro area where you still have, four of the biggest newspapers in the country are based here, it is going to be a habit that will die hard. I can't say the same for other places in the country because we've already seen it happen. Some papers are more advanced in their strategy to convert people to digital and get them to pay more. Some papers are way behind in that. We are lucky in that we are not owned by a chain. We are owned by a family and who is invested in Long Island and is Long Island natives, and they want to succeed here because they love Long Island. They love what we can do for them. And who knows? It could come back. Maybe whatever's after Gen Z will decide they've had it with cell phones and they're tired of being notified and again constant pressure all the time to look at their phone, that maybe they want to kick back with a newspaper and read it on their terms.
That wouldn't be so bad. I would
That
like that.
would be the best outcome.
Would be great. Well, Bob, thank you so much for spending time here. I know you're a very busy guy there in the newsroom, so we want to wrap up our conversation here. We are, however, going to take 2 more minutes of your time
Here we
as we
go.
segue into the rapid fire question portion of our podcast. This is where we steal a page from inside the Actors Studio, ask our guests a series of rapid fire questions meant to elicit a simple answer, maybe your last laugh or two. Bob, limber yourself up as we
Here we
begin. Here
go.
we go. Rapid fire question number one. What is your favorite news source?
Oh, come on. That's like asking your favorite child. So I'll take 30 seconds to answer this. I get the New York Post and the New York I get Newsday delivered 7 days a week to my house. I get the New York Daily News. I have a digital subscription. I get the Sunday paper delivered to my house. I have a digital subscription to the New York Times, and I get the Sunday paper delivered to my house. And I will say this, the place I start every single morning that I have worked in this business since the internet existed is the Drudge Report. I open Drudge Report first because I call it taking the tabloid temperature of America. Like, what are we
Nice.
going to be outraged about today? It kind of sets the tone for what's happening in America today. So, if I were not in the business, I would say this. I would only read the New York Times and the New Yorker. Those are my, I'm still a reader. I'm still a print reader. I love to read print. I can't get enough of reading newspapers and magazines, but that's a broad spectrum. I can't pick one.
I love it. I love that answer. Rapid fire question number two. What is your favorite social media platform?
As you know, and I'm still calling it Twitter, I have been a Twitter acolyte since almost day one. I have made a lot of friends on there. I'm acquaintances. A lot of kept in touch with people that I used to know from another life. I've met lots of new people. Obviously, it was a different time when I got on in 2009, but I will stay there. I will ride that rocket all the way into the ground because I won't give up on the people that I care about and make me laugh on there.
I agree. That's exactly why I'm still there too. Rapid fire question number three, coffee or alcohol?
If I could drink a Rye Manhattan neat every morning when I woke up, I would. For the rest of my life. I'm already
Very
talked my
nice.
I talked to my husband about that. I said, when I'm retired, maybe I'll just start drinking Manhattans in the morning.
Love it. I love it. Back when I was drinking, it was either martinis or bourbon neat.
Sounds it's Friday. It's 5 o'clock somewhere on a Friday, right?
There you go, right? Come on. And it's a newsroom, right?
It's
Come on. All right. Rapid fire question number four. What's your favorite on the run food?
Oh man, on the run. Probably some kind of breakfast sandwich. I mean, if I'm really driving and I just want something to eat, I can never go wrong with sausage, egg, and cheese on a biscuit, or on a croissant. So
Gotta have it. That's good. All right. And last one, Bob, rapid fire question number five. What do you want to be after you finish this career?
let's see. in the PR industry.
Ah!
I think that a certain skill set at some point in your life, it's a rat race, and the news is only getting more. It's not getting less than when you were young. It's getting increasingly crazy. But I've always thought about transitioning into some kind of communications, using my contacts, using my knowledge of the news business to kind of transition into something else. But knowing me, I'll still be here at this desk tied to a computer until they turn the lights off. So.
Well, we will rely on you and your Newsday colleagues to be there for us because I think you guys do a great job. I love the reinvigorated version of what you're doing now. I think it's got it you're doing it so well, and it's got even more promise as you outlined here. So just keep up the great work. Bob, this has been a great conversation. Please do let people know how they can find you best online. Obviously, Twitter.
Obviously, I have smartly have locked down the same username on every single social media platform that exists. It is at rshields37, RSHIELDS 37. And the reason it's 37 is because my childhood idol was Casey Stengel.
Oh, I didn't know that. All right, that
Now
should have made
everyone
sense.
knows.
There you go. Well, thanks again, Bob, for being here. We appreciate it. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Please remember to subscribe to the show. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at the PR Podcast. Send us a question or a comment. Our intro is by Christopher Appold. You can find him and his fantastic photography on Instagram at Christopher_APPOLDT. Check him out there and hire him for all your photography needs. You can find me online at Jody Fisher on all the socials and on the web at jodyfisherpr.com. We'll see you next time on the PR Podcast.